Brothers and sisters, I hope you're doing well and that you're enjoying God's rest in Jesus Christ this Lord's Day. Next week, we're going to celebrate Pentecost. So in the message next week, I'll be focusing upon the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus poured out upon his church on the day of Pentecost. But today, we're going to return to the first letter of the Apostle Peter. The text is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Again, that's 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. Now, in the message last Lord's Day, we learned that we are living in the days that the prophets of old longed to see. We, as New Testament believers, live in the aftermath of our Lord's coming into the world. The Christ has come. He suffered and has been raised to life again. He has ascended into heaven to sit down at the right hand of God. God's promised salvation has now come in Jesus Christ. And as believers today, we're able to see and understand these things with a clarity that the prophets and saints of old in the Old Testament times never had. The prophets of old saw from afar, but we who live today can see how God has kept his promises in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that brings up then an important question. As those who have come to know the fulfillment of God's promised salvation in Jesus Christ, what should we do about it? As those who have come to know the Christ and his salvation, how should we live our lives today? Well, that's what Peter addresses in the passage that we're going to look at today. As those who have come to know this salvation that was spoken of by the prophets, how should we now live our lives? Let's listen to the text together. Again, it is 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. We hear now the word of God. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the help of your Holy Spirit as we attend to it and listen to it. May we grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the Christian church is a holy people. We're holy because God has set us apart. That's part of the idea when we speak of holiness. It means to be set apart unto a special use, a special purpose. God has made us to be a special people, a precious people, a people who are set apart or holy in Jesus Christ. And so as those who belong to the Lord's church, we belong to a holy people. And what is more, as a Christian, you are holy. If you are a Christian, you are holy because God has taken you and set you apart in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he has made you to be a part of his holy people, the church. So as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are holy. You have been set apart by God in his Son. However, the Bible doesn't only teach us that we are holy. It also teaches us that we are to be holy. In Christ, we're already holy. By the grace of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we who believe in Jesus Christ have been set apart in Christ. We are holy in Christ. But we're also to be pursuing holiness. We're to live a life of holiness. We are to be growing in holiness. As those who have been saved by the grace of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, we are to be actively pursuing a life of holiness in the Lord. And that's what we see very clearly in the series of exhortations that Peter gives in our passage today. We begin with verse 14, where Peter begins by saying, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." Now notice, Peter begins that sentence with a therefore. And by saying therefore, Peter, is, of course, is referring back to what he has just said about salvation, about the salvation that these Christians have come to know in Jesus Christ. He is saying, therefore, in light of what I have just said to you about this salvation that you have come to know in Christ, in light of all that, therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now notice, Peter is calling us, he's calling these Christians and he is calling us to be active here. We are to be actively pursuing these things. Notice the action words in what Peter says. Prepare, he says. Prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace that you will receive when Jesus returns. Peter's message here is that as Christians, we are to be active in our pursuit of these things. In other words, we don't just sit back, take it easy, and wait for these things to happen in our lives. You don't sit back and wait for God to give you self-control. No, the Word of God is telling us here, it's exhorting us that we are to pursue these things. In fact, the Scripture is commanding us to pursue these things. Do this, Peter says, pursue these things. You see, the Christian life is to be a life in which we are actively pursuing holiness and actively pursuing obedience to God. We are not to be passive. It is not that we sit back. We don't just sit back and wait to become a more godly person. We don't just sit back and wait to become a person who fears God. We don't just sit back and say, if God wants to change me, then he'll change me. No, the Bible shows us that we are to be active in the pursuit of a godly life. Now, to be clear here, remember, salvation in Jesus Christ is a free gift. We are saved all of grace. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, not by our works, not by our efforts. No, we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is all of grace. Our salvation is all of the grace of God. It is of sovereign grace. It is of free grace. To God be the glory. And yet Scripture is clear that the life of a believer, that the life that flows from salvation in Christ, is a life of struggle and hard work. A person might think, well, I gave my life to Christ. I trusted him for salvation. And my sins are forgiven, so therefore I can relax, right? My soul's in good shape. I can now take it easy. Everything's all looked after. But no, that's not what the Bible shows us. It shows us that the Christian life is one in which we are active and busy in the things of God. Your conversion to Jesus Christ, your salvation in Christ, is just the beginning. It's not the end. It's just the beginning of a life in which you are actively and continually pursuing holiness and the fear of God and obedience unto the Lord. In the words of Peter, you are to be preparing your minds for action. Literally, Peter speaks in this verse of girding up the loins of your mind for action. You're to be self-controlled, and you're to be setting your hope fully on the grace that you will receive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you, are we doing these things? Are you day by day seeking to do what Peter is describing here? Are you setting your hope fully on the grace that you will receive when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in glory? Remember, the day is coming. It is before us all, when Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven. He will come with glory and power. He will come as the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. He will come in that day. And we who believe will be made like him. Our bodies will be transformed to be like his glorified body. And his kingdom and justice will prevail over all the earth, and God will establish his dwelling, his tabernacle among us, and all the promises of God in Jesus Christ will come to their full realization. Brothers and sisters, what kind of person are you? Are you a person whose hope is in these things? Are you a person whose hope is in Jesus Christ and all that God will come bring to pass when Jesus Christ comes again? Is that who you are today? Are you looking for that day? As you live your life in the world today, is your hope set on the grace that will be given to you on that day? Is your hope fully on the grace to be given you at the day of Jesus Christ? Is that where your hope is today? Notice Peter says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Set your hope fully, he says. How much of your hope is focused on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we to hope only in Christ's coming just a little bit? Peter says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you on that day. You see, this hope that Peter is speaking of here is to be defining for us. It is to be a fundamental part of who we are. And yet so often people in the church can struggle with this. We will go to church on Sunday and think about God. And then we leave church and it's like everything gets back to normal with all our hopes focused on the things of this world. Is that the biblical way? Is that the way that the Lord is calling us? No. Every day I am to be setting my hope fully upon the grace of God in Jesus Christ. When we're at work, when we're at home, when we're in the garden, when we are playing with our kids, when we're cooking dinner. It may not always be front and center on our minds, but we're living in that hope. We are to be a people who are characterized by this hope. Every day it is this hope. It defines who we are, this hope that Jesus Christ is coming again in glory and he will put all things right. That is our hope. That is the hope in which we live. Tragedies may come, dark days may come, but this is the hope that we have. As Peter says, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And so, brothers and sisters, as we look to live a life of holiness, let's make sure that we are living with this hope. Let's make sure that we are setting our hope fully on the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Let's not be passive in this. Let's not just wait for this to happen. Let's actively pursue and live in this hope of which the Scripture speaks. Well, that brings us then to another exhortation that Peter had for the Christians of Asia Minor. Here in the midst of this call to holiness, Peter has this warning in verse 14. He says to them, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So notice, these Christians in Asia Minor had at one time, Peter says, lived in ignorance. There was a time when they did not know of God's grace in Jesus Christ. They did not know about God's Son. They did not know about the cross and about salvation. They were not living in obedience to the Word of God. They were unaware of these things. They were ignorant. And with that, they were living their lives in ways that were completely out of step with the Word of God. That, of course, has been the way for many people. Some people grow up in the church and they're nurtured in the gospel and biblical teaching from the time that they were born. But for others, they grow up outside of a Christian context and they're completely unaware of biblical teaching. And so as they go about their lives, they don't give a thought to whether something that they're doing is in step with the Word of God or not. They're not thinking about whether this thing that I'm doing violates the Word of God. It doesn't even occur to them. Perhaps that was the case for some of you. Before you turned to Christ, you lived in a way or you engaged in activities that were completely contrary to the Word of God. And you never thought to yourself, oh, I'm breaking the Word of God. That wasn't the way you thought about things at the time. Well, so it was for the Christians to whom Peter wrote this letter. Their background was one of ignorance to the truth of God. But now they have come to Christ. Peter tells them that now they've come to Christ, they must not live in the ways that they lived in their former ignorance. They must not conform to the evil desires and the passions and the lust in which they once used to live. No, Peter tells them, as obedient children, they're not to live in those ways. They're not to live in those ways now. Now notice that phrase that Peter uses here. He says, as obedient children. Let's just think about those words for a moment. With parents, what do we look for in our children as parents? Well, one thing we hopefully look for in our children is obedience. We want obedient children. We want our children to obey, and not just to obey reluctantly, we want them to obey cheerfully and gladly. The phrase that we use in our home with our children is cheerful obedience. As parents, we want our children to obey from the heart. As Paul writes in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children are to obey their parents because that is the order that God has established for the home. In the home, it is not to be parents obeying the children or nobody and obeying anybody. God has given us an order in the home. God gives parents to teach us and to train us. And as children, we are to obey them. We are to obey our parents. And if children are not obeying their parents, then both parents and children are not going to be happy because things are not going to be working properly. Well, as Christians, we are all, in a sense, children. We are, as the Scripture teaches, we are children of God. And as Peter tells us here, we are to be obedient children. We are to be obedient children of our Heavenly Father. We have His Word. We have the Word of our Heavenly Father, and we're to obey it. We're to trust and to obey our Heavenly Father. And so, and thus, as obedient children, we are to stay away from the things that God forbids. We are to stay away, as Peter says, from every evil desire that would tempt us. Whether they be evil desires from our past or evil desires that we struggle with in the present, we're to obey and heed the Word of God, which warns us not to do such things. Think about it this way. Your two-year-old is running into the street. What does a parent do? You cry out, stop. You warn them. You say, come back. Now, why do we do that? Do we do that to be mean? No, we do that to protect them. And hopefully in those situations, your child hears your voice and obeys your word. And likewise, God in His word warns us. He warns us about certain things. The Lord warns us to stop, to not do that, to come back. He warns us as His children. Does God tell us these things? Does He tell us not to do these things, to be mean to us or cruel to us? Does God do these things? Does He forbid us things in order to stop our fun? No, He's protecting us. He's doing it in love. He's warning us not to do things that will harm us, that will lead to our ruin and to our misery. God is warning us against ways that lead to destruction. And as obedient children of our Heavenly Father, we're to heed His voice. We are to heed His call to us to stop, His warnings. And so, brothers and sisters, let me ask you, are you seeking to be an obedient child of God? Are you seeking to heed the voice of your Heavenly Father? Are you seeking to be not just a child of God, but an obedient child, obedient to every word of your Heavenly Father? When children are disobedient to their parents, when children disregard the warnings and the instruction of their parents, it doesn't go well. It doesn't go well. No one's happy. And when we walk in disobedience to our Heavenly Father, it will not go well for us. When we violate the Word of our God, His good and perfect Word, when we disregard His commandments, His exhortations to us and His warnings, it won't go well. It won't lead in a good way. It won't lead to our happiness. The ways of sin will not ultimately lead to happiness. Sexual immorality, greed, idolatry, whatever it is, we are to be obedient children holding to the word of our Heavenly Father. We are not to be conformed to evil desires. In fact, we are to live in a way that is very different from that. Listen to verses 14 and 15 in the passage. Peter says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" And so we come back to this idea of holiness that I brought up at the beginning. It's really what this entire passage is about, isn't it? As Christians, we are to be holy. And what is the reason that Peter gives here for why we are to be holy? Did you notice? Why are we to be holy? It is because he says God is holy. Again, Peter says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Be holy because I am holy, says the Lord. Brothers and sisters, our God, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who has redeemed us by his sovereign grace in his Son Jesus Christ, saving us by the precious blood of his Son, he is holy. Remember the words of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah there had his vision of the Lord seated in the temple, high and lifted up. And above him were the seraphim, those holy angels, having six wings, two covering their face, two covering their feet. And with two they covered their eyes. And one called to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Or listen to the vision of John in Revelation 4, where John says, "And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. Day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" Brothers and sisters, the Lord our God is holy. There is none like him. There is none like our God. Exodus 15, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" Psalm 99, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." He is holy. You serve a holy God, the God whom we worship, the God whose throne we approach in prayer. He is not a God who winks at sin. He is not a God who is accepting of sin. He is holy. He is other. That's something that people can sometimes forget. Sometimes I think we can think or act as if God is pretty much like us. He is kind of like us. And we're, people are not always drawn to the idea of a God who is holy, a God who is to be feared. But that is who the Lord our God is. That is the God who has revealed himself in the Scripture. He is a God who is holy. And we who are his people are to be holy. As I said at the beginning, we are holy. We are set apart as God's special people. We have been set apart in his Son, Jesus Christ. But we're also to be holy. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean I'm always reading my Bible? No, though reading the Bible can certainly be helpful. Does it mean I'm always praying? No, sometimes people have thought if you really want to be holy, you have to go off and become a monk in a monastery where you're always praying nonstop and always in the Scriptures. No, when we speak about a Christian being holy, we're speaking simply about a person who is seeking to trust and obey the Lord their God. We're speaking about faith and obedience. Being holy means that by the Holy Spirit, we're trusting the Lord and we're obeying his word. We're fighting our sin. We're staying away from sinful desires and growing in Christ's likeness. We still sin, but we fight sin and we confess sin and we pursue righteousness and obedience to God. Holiness is a life marked by the fear of the Lord and devotion to him. And as I mentioned earlier, None of us get to opt out of this. This is for all of us. Again, as Peter says in the passage, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. We don't get to say no to this. You can't say, I want to be a Christian, but I'm not interested in obedience to God. I'm not interested in holiness. I want salvation, but I'm not really into the holiness part. No, we don't get to opt out of this. The Bible says, be holy because I am holy. That's the word of God. Is it easy? No, it's hard. We still have a sinful nature that works against us. We have a world that's saying, do all these things. Walk in these ways and you'll be happy. There are temptations out there. Holiness is a struggle. Sin is easy. Holiness is a struggle. It's something that we are to be, as I said earlier, actively pursuing. That's why I said we can't be passive. We are to be actively pursuing this. It's warfare. This is spiritual warfare. We are fighting the devil by the promises of the Word of God. We are fighting the world in its sinful ways and allegiance to the evil one. We are fighting our flesh and our sinful nature that wars against us. This doesn't just happen. It's a struggle. But with this struggle, in which we are filled and guided by the Spirit of God, there comes joy and peace. Because the way of holiness is also the way of comfort and joy. There's more joy and there's more happiness in God's ways, in the way of obedience. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you, is that the path that you are on? Are you pursuing this life of holiness, this life of faith and obedience to the Lord and His Word? Are you fighting sin and walking more and more day by day in the fear of the Lord? We serve a holy God, a holy God who in His grace has saved us unto holiness. So let us flee sin and pursue holiness. Let us pursue God's good way, the way that leads ultimately to joy and to peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and have a good week.